This is Southside Appreciation Month during the entire month of October, and I hope that you've written them cards thanking them for what they do week in and week out. I think they deserve a hand. You guys give them a hand. Woo! I know that truly none of them do it so that they can be applauded by us. But just like the song we just sang, Riches I Heed Not, Nor Man's Empty Praise, they truly see God as their inheritance now and always, just like the songs we just sang. They're living examples of that, and we're grateful for that. But it is Southside Appreciation Month, and we hope that you'll take time to pick up some blank cards that are out there in the foyer. Write things to people. Write anybody that you, I mean, look around. You see all the people around here? If you appreciate everybody that's around you, go write a card to them, and we'll hand them out at the end of the month and give them to people. So there's some signs out on both walls there, the foyer, to give you an idea on some people that you might want to write cards to. You could take Sharpies and write on those boards, whatever you want to do. But I want to say this. I appreciate all y'all. I really do. And I'm glad that you're here this morning. But I have a question to ask you to start off with as we get into this morning. We're actually going to be in Luke chapter 10 this morning. But I want to ask you, you guys ever just feel overwhelmed? Life just feel like it's a little too much and just a little too, That's a technical term right there for when you feel overwhelmed. You feel, right? I was sitting with some church staff people, actually the youth ministers, and we were talking a while back, and I said, you know, I have about a 2 or 3 week window in my preaching plan. What do we want to preach on? And the first thing they said was, let's talk about being busy. I went, that's a good thing. That's a great thing. It's a frightening thing for me to talk about. You know why? Because sometimes I feel busy, right? Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. Do you ever get really busy and you just feel overwhelmed by life? You just feel like it just gets to be too much. You just feel like you don't know what to do. Whether my car broke down or the future, or you feel beat down, you feel discouraged, you feel stressed, there's bills, there's anxieties, there's school is hard, there's husband, that's one that doesn't overwhelm me. There's a lack of purpose, bank account is low, kids, deadlines, all these different things just kind of seem to pile on top of us sometimes, don't they? And sometimes we just feel like we're kind of at the end of our rope and we kind of go, Isn't this kind of interesting? I think sometimes we let our busyness define us. And I was thinking about that this morning because someone asked me, they said, how was your week? And you know what I almost said? Busy. And then I thought, okay, is that really how I want my week to be defined? Just by the amount of stuff that I did. So I answered it another way. So I asked that gentleman, how was your week? He goes, busy. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that answer. There's absolutely nothing wrong. I'm not getting on to that guy because, you know, my answer was the same thing. But sometimes the amount of stuff that we have to do seems to be the thing that defines us, doesn't it? And sometimes, some of you are the other way around. It's the fact that you don't feel busy enough that makes you feel overwhelmed. Because you look at your life and you go, I should be doing more. God could be using me in other ways and he's not, or there's so many other things we could do. It's almost like we feel like we're too busy or we're not busy enough. And you know what both of those cause you to feel? Overwhelmed. Just cause you to feel like, oh, it's just too much. So for the next couple of weeks, we're going to do a little series about feeling overwhelmed here. And we're going to look specifically at the life of Jesus. We're going to talk about some events in his life. And one of them is going to be in Luke chapter 10. But before we get to that, I want to ask you this question. When you think about Jesus, what's the one word that pops in your head? Just shout it out. Love, awesome. Fearless. Man. I have no idea. Savior. Okay. Forgiving. Sacrifice, love. Now, it's interesting that no one said busy. No one talked about the stuff he did. You talked about who he was. Now, I think that sometimes we let our busyness or lack thereof be the thing that defines us, and it gets to be the thing that we're focused on. And sometimes I think that we kind of end up lying to ourselves a little bit about that's a good thing or that's a bad thing. Now, I'm going to tell you, this sermon is heavily influenced by a sermon I heard years ago by a youth minister. I can't even remember who it was. I think it was Doug Fields, and I stole part of that for this morning. But I think that sometimes we get so overwhelmed that we start convincing ourselves that this is a normal, everyday thing. So we're going to give, we have a little scale here we're going to put up here on the screen for you to be able to see that. You see that? Number one is not at all. Sometimes, you know, in the 5 or 6 range to the 10 to the all the time. I'm going to put up some statements here, and I want you to judge how often you do this. Is this what you tell yourself about why you're so busy or why you're not? How many of you have ever said this? There's just not enough time to do everything. How often do you say that? Do you say that? Is that like going to be a 1? Is that going to be like a 10? What's that going to be like? Now, sometimes, and I'm just going to say this. I think it was my, actually, I'm going to say that later. Hold that thought. You guys want to see my go-to busy line? The thing that I tell myself all the time that I'm just flat out lying to myself about, it's this one right here. It's just a busy time of year. How many of you ever said that? You say it to yourself a lot. Do you not say it very much? You just go, it's just a busy time of year. Things will calm down. Give it another couple of weeks. Give it another month. Everything's going to be better. It's just the busy time of year. What's funny is the times I used to say weren't the busy time of year, now I say they're the busy time of year. Do you know why? Because every year is a busy time of year at this point, right? How about this one? But it's really important. That one's a little, you know, some of you kind of, nobody wanted to really laugh at that one, right? Because we'd like to think that the important things we have time for, right? But what happens when our priorities get out of whack and we think that everything's important, and then as a result, we just don't have time to do everything? These are just three of the lies that I use myself. Now, I'm not you. Anybody have other things you tell yourself to convince yourself that your busyness is really a good thing that you want to share? Yell it out. Oh, if I don't do it, it won't get done. Ooh. Do you say that? What else? There's always tomorrow. We do that sometimes too, don't we? We sometimes go, there's always tomorrow. It's okay, you know. What else? I don't feel like it. That's our go-to, is it? I just don't feel like it. But I asked you about Jesus a minute ago. Anybody else have any more you want to share? Good, Chris, or Catherine, sorry. I'll sleep when I'm dead. There you go. Yeah. We do that one a lot, don't we? Do you guys hear what Fred said? Fred nailed what a lot of us does. He says, when the mood hits me, I'll go do that. Right? Because see, the truth is sometimes we convince ourselves that we're supposed to be doing something else. Or sometimes we convince ourselves that we're supposed to be doing all of this stuff. But what happens is we end up not focusing on the thing we're supposed to. But you look at Jesus. When I asked you a minute ago about Jesus' life, people were saying words like loving. People were saying things like, you know, he's my Savior, he's forgiving, he's all this other sort of thing. But when you read the Gospels, you see that Jesus had time to do everything that he needed to do. And he had deep relationships. He had rest. He took time to rest. He took time to be alone by himself. He took time to be with God. And I look at all these things and I go, isn't that kind of what we all want out of life too? We wish we had the time to spend more reading our Bible. You know, how many times have we said, oh, I wish I had more time to pray? How many of you have even said this week, I don't want you to raise your hand, but go, oh, I wish I could go to Honduras, but I can't. There's too much going on. Right? Now, in Luke chapter 10 here, we get this interesting passage here because I want to share it. This is a famous story. And we're going to talk about parts of this here. Starting in verse 38 of Luke chapter 10, it says this. While they were traveling, he, meaning Jesus, entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up and she asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand. And the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken from her. Now, I want to look at the end of the story real quick here. Look at those last two verses again. I want to share these again. This is what Jesus says to Martha. He says, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made what? the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her. Here's my question. Where did Martha go wrong? What did she do that was so wrong? Mary made the right choice, which by simple math here means Martha made the wrong choice, right? And I wasn't trying to look at Martha when I said Martha made the wrong choice. Sorry, Martha, that was unfair to you. I realized that could be taken as really mean. That was just unintentional. I want everyone to know that. But what was it that Martha did that was so wrong? She didn't take time to really listen to the Lord's word. But what we're going to do is I want to look at Martha. We're going to look at the things that happens in her life this morning. And we're going to follow this pattern. I want you to see what happens here. First is good intentions. And where do the good intentions lead? To distractions that catch our eye, which actually leads to you start feeling pressure and pity, which leads to resentment. Right? So that's where we're going to go from looking at Martha's life here. And I want to start with this first one right here about good intentions. Notice what it said in verse 38. My page turned on me. What does it say in verse 38? What did Martha do? She invited Jesus into her home. She welcomed him into her home. That's a great thing, right? What you don't see is Jesus going, "Why did you invite me in?" He doesn't do that, right? Martha has great intentions from the start. She loves Jesus, and that's always a great spot to start right there because you love Jesus, and she loves Jesus. But what happens is it goes beyond that because it's not just your intentions that was her problem. That wasn't her problem at all. Notice where the scripture went after that. Go down to verse 40. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. You kind of catch the sadness here? Martha is probably, I try and look at what her good intentions were. I try and look at what she's trying to do. She's welcoming Jesus into her home. We don't know specifically what she was doing, but I suspect it's something like she's trying to prepare food. Notice when this started off in verse 38, it said, while they were traveling, this just isn't welcoming Jesus into your home. This is Jesus and his disciples and all these other people that are with him. Could you imagine inviting 13 men into your home? Say, why don't you guys come on over? Then all of a sudden you go, I don't have enough chips and Oreos to feed them, right? Is that kind of what we do? I have a feeling she is going, okay, we have all these guys, the Savior's here, the Messiah's here. How cool is that? He's in my house. But then she starts getting distracted because she starts going, wait, these guys are hungry. These guys need some food. And I love the way that Luke records it for us, that she was distracted by her many tasks. Now all of a sudden, what has happened? Just like what Pat was saying a minute ago, now she's no longer looking at Jesus and being able to spend time with him. Now all of a sudden, she's not spending time with him so that she can, what she thinks he needs to take care of him. Are you with me on all that? She gets distracted, and as a result, her distraction takes her away from where she's supposed to be. Now, her intentions are great. But what happens? The good intentions lead to that becoming the bigger picture. You with me on all that? There was a phrase that I heard years ago, and it was probably from my mom. I think she was the one I probably heard this from. The phrase just slipped from my mind. I'm not kidding you. This morning I went, I need to write that down or I'm going to get distracted and forget about it. And I didn't write it down, and I had it like a minute ago in my head that I was going to say right here. Even earlier in the sermon, I was going to say it then. I went, no, I'm going to save that. What was it that my mom would say? Oh, here's what she would say. Are you ready for this? Are you ready? I think it was my mom who would say this. She would say, if you're too busy for God, then you're busier than God ever intended you to be. Isn't that great? Because how many of us, we go, man, I want to spend time reading the Bible, but I just don't have enough time. We go, I want to have a great prayer life, but I just don't have enough time. You know what's happened in those situations? You've let the distractions distract you from focusing on the God that you're supposed to. If you find yourself going, you know what, I haven't read the Bible all week because it was such a busy week, then you need to stop right there and realize the problem was you were busier than you were supposed to be this week. Are you with me on all that? And I think this is where most of us would live our lives. We have the good intentions. We want to provide a good home life for our family, so we work. We do all this. We want to, we have this that we're focused on, and we have good reasons for doing all those things. Some of you are so crazy busy at work, and there's nothing you can do to help that, right? But here's what I want you to see. That now all of a sudden, she doesn't have time to spend time with the Savior. The most incredible experience of her life right here, being able to talk with Jesus face to face, with him sitting in her own house, and she's so focused on everything else that she doesn't get to do it. This is where most of the time we find ourselves. Because we mean well, but so many things in life just distract us from what we're supposed to do. But what's fascinating here is Martha goes a little bit further here. I want you to see where her busyness led her to. Because look here a little bit later, here's what else she said in verse 40, when it picks up there. It says, and she came up and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Now all of a sudden, these distractions, she's feeling all this pressure that she has to do all this. And now what does she start doing? She starts pitying herself. Isn't that what happens when we get distracted, when we don't have enough time to do everything we want to do? Don't we just find ourselves going, oh, poor David, I just wish I had more time. Man, I want to do that, but oh, you just have too much going on. Oh, poor David, if only, you know, he didn't have this, or he didn't have this, or if only he had this, this, and this, then he could be what God wanted him to be. Or isn't that kind of what we do? Because now all of a sudden, the distractions, she's focused on the wrong thing, and now as a result, she's feeling this pity towards herself. She's feeling the pressure to do what nobody has ever asked her to do in the first place. Jesus' disciples didn't walk into her house and go, feed us, woman! That's not what happened at all. But she felt the pressure to feed them. And they weren't expecting it at all, I suspect. You know, I think they're probably sitting there and they start smelling like food wafting into the little sitting area where they are. And they're like, ooh, that smells good, you know. Then they start feeling that. And then she starts going, oh, wait, you know, James is here? Oh, man, that guy eats a lot. Oh, we got to have more, you know. We need to do all that. So now all of a sudden, this distraction has gone to this intense sort of pressure, and it's even gone beyond that. Because notice, she even tells Jesus, okay, don't you care? Isn't that fascinating? When I asked you to describe Jesus, you talked about he's loving, he's caring, he's all this sort of thing. And now she's saying, don't you care? And notice, he's wrong, because she's saying, you don't care. But not only is he wrong, her sister's wrong, because my sister has left me to serve alone. Because that's what happens when you get into this really pressure-pitying moment here, is it feels like everyone else is out there doing something, and it doesn't matter what they're doing, they're wrong, and I'm right. You catch that picture? And this is where so many times, most of us, we have the good intentions, and we get distracted, but a lot of us don't lead to this point. But even this point goes a little bit further, because notice the next thing she said, it led to resentment. So she even flat out tells Jesus, so tell her to give me a hand. She's not going to listen to me, but she'll listen to you. You need to tell my sister to give me a hand. We start off with the things that keep us too busy, or the things that don't keep us busy enough, the things that we get our priorities out of whack on, and we mean well by those things. We really, truly do. What happens is it becomes a distraction, which leads us to have this feeling of pity, this feeling of pressure that we have to live up to something, and then it leads to this resentment of everybody else that we're around. This is the pattern that you see Martha do. And isn't it kind of fascinating how Luke just laid it out that way? Because this is what happens to us. We mean well, we get distracted, so then we start feeling the pressure to live up to something. We start feeling the pity, and we feel like we're the only ones out there, and then it leads to this resentment. And do you remember how Jesus responded, verse 41 and 42? I want us to go back and look at that again. He said, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. We worry about a lot of things, don't we? I'm not trying to badmouth anybody here, including myself. We worry more about what other people think about us than what our own Savior thinks about us. We worry more about making them happy than making the Savior who came and died for us happy. And it's not even something that we consciously do. It's not even something that we intentionally do. It's not like we ever went, I'm going to snub God today. You know, you're not going to wake up tomorrow morning and go, let's figure out how I can snub God today. Woo! But we get distracted, and we feel this pressure because we've been distracted off of the things that really matter, and we feel like we've got to live up to something else, and then we just feel like we're all alone, and we're pitying ourselves, and then we start resenting everybody else because we're just so stressed out and so busy because of all this. And it all starts with the good intentions that distract us from what really matters. Martha did it, and I think you and I do that as well. So I want to ask you some questions to kind of help you out here. I'm calling these the busy fighting questions. Are you ready for some busy fighting questions? Here's the first one. What is my standard for deciding what the right choice is? Because notice, that's what Jesus said. Mary has made the right choice. What standard made that? What standard made Mary make the right choice and Martha make the wrong one? What's your standard when it comes to the things that you do? How do you decide what the right thing to do and what the wrong thing to do is? And let me give you a little hint. If your standard isn't what God wants you to do, it's going to be wrong from the start, you know. So here's your standard. Now, a lot of us, we're at this point here, we kind of have that standard. But here's the next question. Am I making choices by that standard? Oh, I know what my standard is, but I don't always make the choices according to my standard. And I suspect that you and I do the same thing. Not only is it enough to know what's deciding what's the right thing to do and the wrong thing to do, but do you actually do it? So now we get to where things get a little uncomfortable. Because I want to ask you this question. What do you need to say no to today? What do you need to say no to this week? This month? This year? What is it that you are doing that's distracting you from what you're really supposed to be focused on? What is it that you're doing that's distracting you? And it might be a great thing. It might be something you mean well on, but it's really taking you away from God. Just like my mama used to say, you know, if you're too busy for God, then you're busier than God intended you to be. So you know what the answer to that is? You say no to some things. What is it you need to say no to? That question right there terrifies me. Because I've preached a sermon once before, and I'm not kidding you. There was a sweet lady in our church. She was in her 70s, and she came 2 days later after I preached the sermon, said, can I talk to you? I said, yeah. So she pulls out a notebook. She's like, phoom! You know, and I'm going, oh, I'm like, oh man, I did it this time. And here's what she did. She said, you told us Sunday that we need to say no to some things, right? I said, yes, ma'am, I did. She goes, here's all the things that I know of that you're doing. And she starts rattling them off. She made a list. She flat out said, what is it that you need to say no to? It's tough, isn't it? I told the guys when we were talking about doing this sermon series, I'm like, this makes me uncomfortable because I had a lady call me on it. What do you need to say no to? Now, this last question I want to ask you is this. How do you refocus yourself when you need to? When you feel overwhelmed, how do you get from feeling overwhelmed? Do you have a way that you do that? When it feels like life is just too much, it just feels overwhelming, how do you deal with that? How do you refocus when you need to? For me, it's a lot of time in this and a lot of time on my knees in prayer. That's what I need to refocus myself. And I suspect that you are probably the same way as well. God never intended us to feel overwhelmed. God never intended you to be so busy that you don't have time for Him. God never intended you to be so crazy busy that you don't even have time to think, that you don't even have time to focus. And so I want to ask you, are you more like Martha or are you more like Mary today? Notice, both of them started off well. And can I be honest about something? If you look at it from another perspective, didn't Martha start off the unselfish way and Mary the selfish way? Mary's like, I just want to hear Jesus speak. And Martha's like, no, we have to feed these people. In a weird way, Martha's being the unselfish one and Mary's being the selfish one if you want to look at it that way. But you know why you can't look at it that way? Because that was the right choice. Because being with Jesus is always a whole lot more important than your to-do list. And that's where Martha messed up. She meant well, but didn't end up well. You and I are in that same boat. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that you help us through life, that you help us to get by, that those days when life just seems overwhelming and we just don't know what to do, that you're right there every minute of that day going, hey, I'm right here with you. Thank you for being with us every step of the way. Help us to be more like Mary, and we're going to be conscious about spending time with you. We're going to make an effort to spend time with you. We're going to make an effort to realize you're right here with us in the midst of whatever it is we're going through. Help us to not be like Martha, who's distracted, who ends up feeling all this pressure, ends up feeling pity for herself, and ends up resenting everyone else. Don't let our busyness cause that to happen out of us. Help us to make the right choice, whatever that choice is. Help us to follow you. For it's your name we pray. Amen.